I feel the need for a podcast exploring the films and career of Steven Spielberg. Welcome to Film Encounters of the Spielberg Kind.
It really does sound like you're going to say Tom Cruise every time.
I'm on the edge.
It sounds like you don't know what we're doing. That's what it sounds like. I honestly don't.
It's a result of us having a copy and paste intro that makes no sense for the season we're doing.
What are you talking about? I don't think I did copy and paste that. I think I typed it out. I think I did.
Wow.
It doesn't matter.
What are we doing?
In terms of not knowing what we're doing. It's an award ceremony. I'm Adam Scott Glasspool. You're Tom Ashford. What are we doing? We're going through the entire filmography of Steven Spielberg, trying to find out how he became one of our most beloved and successful film directors. But we did this last time with our Tom Cruise show. At the end of every decade, we like to sort of sum up, see what's been going on, and hand out some awards. Now, I don't think we should change the name of a prestigious award. You don't just change the name of the Oscars, do you?
No, but then you don't just give it to Oscar Isaac.
No, but we didn't just give that. I think we should remain with the Tommies, and your argument is we should start calling it the Stevies.
The Stevies.
I hate it so much. But
it's so awful that it's good. The Stevies. No.
Well, okay. Well, yeah, maybe. But we also didn't just give. Like, we didn't give Best Director to Tom Cruise last time.
I think we did a few times, to be fair.
No, I don't think we did.
Christopher McQuarrie.
we didn't give Best Soundtrack to Tom Cruise. Loads of people who aren't Tom Cruise received a Tommy Award from us, you know?
It is true. I just feel like it's disrespectful to the world's most competent director to still be handing out Tommy Awards.
He should be honoured. He should be honoured to get a Tommy Award. It's just, you don't change the name of an award, do you? It just doesn't seem right. But I'm happy. Do you want to flip a coin? Should we flip a coin? I'll do it.
Well, to be fair, I think there is something in keeping with the Tommies, because if we cover some, let's say, hypothetical season threes that we've discussed, season threes, season fours, it's going to be really hard to come up with a new name for some of them.
It really is.
Like, that's just not going to work.
It's just not going to work. Well, let's flip a coin anyway, because we can always take it back to the Tommies. I'll flip a coin, okay? You can call it, though. What do you want heads to be?
Stevies.
Okay, heads it's Stevies, tails it's Tommies. Here we go. Oh, it's tails, Tom. That's a shame. Sorry, mate. Yeah. Sorry, mate. It's going to be Tommy's after all. Sorry. I just flipped it and it came out tails.
It's a good thing it's named after me, to be fair.
Well, I thought you'd be all over that. I thought you'd be all over the fact that the award's named after you.
And the statues are in my image. Shirtless, beaming outwards.
Oh, God. Before we get started, it's December, Tom. It's December.
It is.
And you know what happens in December? What happens in December? What's the big event in December, other than the Tommies?
Let me think. Big event. Oh, it's Christmas, isn't it?
It's Christmas.
Christmas.
What have you been? Have you started Christmas movies yet, or what? What's going on? Talk to me about Christmas films.
Well, Jenny is a big Christmas film fan.
Yeah,
having been brought up on National Lampoon's Christmas Vacations and others.
I wasn't expecting that to make the leap between episodes. To be honest with you.
So she was yesterday after we got home from our holiday in Marrakesh.
Did you have a good time?
We did. We talked about this off air though, so I'm not going to bore.
I
rode a camel.
It would have been weird if I didn't ask you if you had a good time. I know you had a good time because I just asked you and you told me about it extensively, and it was really fucking boring. Yeah. But I thought
it'd
be weird if I didn't mention it on air. People would think I was some kind of bastard man.
Yeah. So yeah, we got back and Jenny was all like, oh, I want to watch a Christmas movie because it's December. And I was like, no, because Christmas movies are usually shit.
Oh,
so
you sound like fun, mate.
Yeah. So we, oh, well,
Tom, I'd like to watch a movie. No.
No. But we settled on a movie, Adam, that I think is a Christmas movie because it's very snowy and it's also very good.
Okay, yeah.
Fargo.
I'd have given you loads of leeway. I'd have given you loads of leeway on Christmas films because they're snowy, but you could fuck right off with Fargo. Stupid. You're an idiot. Tom, that's one of my favourite films of all time, and I'm glad you watched it, and I'm glad Jenny watched it, but Jesus Christ, that's not a Christmas movie, mate. It's not very Christmassy. It's not even up for debate. It's not even up for debate. You know how people are like, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? Nobody is arguing that Fargo is anywhere near a Christmas movie, you fucking melt. Jesus Christ. Poor old Jenny. Poor old Jenny. I want to watch a Christmas movie because it's only 2 weeks till Christmas. Well, I tell you what, love, we could watch a film about a string of murders. What is wrong with you?
Well, Adam, joke's on you. Jenny chose it.
What was the parameters then? Well, you just said, okay, it has to have snow in it. What is that what it was?
No, it was, I don't want to watch a Christmas movie. And so the compromise was, she went, can we watch Fargo? Because I haven't seen it before. And I was like, yes, because I have seen it before and it's good.
It's great. What a fucking movie.
Yeah.
So you don't really get down with Christmas movies, huh?
No, there's just not many of them that are any good that I've seen.
There's loads that are good. Well, okay, yes, the little qualifier at the end there that you've seen, I suppose, is doing some of the heavy lifting there. What about Arthur Christmas is really good?
Have I seen? I think I've seen Arthur Christmas.
Right, you've got to write these down. You've got to write these down. You must like Elf.
Yeah, Elf's good.
Yeah. Home Alone?
Yeah. But overdone, though. Like, yeah, I've seen them too recently. Yeah.
What about It's a Wonderful Life, Tom?
Haven't seen that, and I'm sure that is very good.
Watch it this Christmas. It's a Christmas movie. It's incredible.
Maybe it will at some point. It needs to be closer to Christmas as well. It can't be the first moment I get to sit down in December. It cannot be It's a Wonderful Life.
I've made myself a list, and I'm checking it twice, of Christmas movies. Good. To watch this year, and I've put some like kind of out there stuff on it, but it's not Fargo, you dickhead. So I've got.
To be fair, Jenny's first choice was Violent Night.
Yeah, I've got that on my list. I want to see that. Why? Did
but
you
I
not...
saw it's because I saw it on a plane not too long ago.
Oh, that's a classic. Ashford watches it on the plane. Wait, hang on a second. Hang on a second. What do you mean by not too long ago?
I watched it, like, in the summer?
Right. So you won't let Jenny watch a Christmas movie at the beginning of December because it's not close enough to Christmas, but you will watch Violent Night, a film about Santa Claus, in July.
Yep.
You're a dickhead.
We will watch plenty of Christmas movies, Adam. Plenty of Christmas movies.
What else have I got in here? I've got Little Women in there. Is that a Christmas movie? I think so.
No.
There's an extended sequence at Christmas. What are you talking about? It's like half an hour of it is at Christmas. La La Land. La La Land takes place at Christmas. Got that in there. You'll love this. Eyes Wide Shut.
Yep. That's a Christmas
Absolute Christmas movie. But I actually have an affection for those shit Christmas movies that you're kind of talking about. I watched four Christmas movies in a row a couple of days ago.
I did see, and I wondered if you were all right.
I What did I watch? I watched The 12 Dates of Christmas. Yeah?
Good.
Not bad, yeah. Well, no, actually, bad. I watched All I Want for Christmas. Yeah? I watched Surviving Christmas, which I thought was awful, but I do recommend you watch, Tom, because it's so interesting. It's such an interesting movie. And then I watched The Family Stone, which was sort of frustrating. It was a frustrating watch. Good cast, though. And obviously, on the 1st of December, when I was putting up my Christmas tree, I watched the Jim Carrey version of The Grinch, which I don't like, but it has become somewhat of a tradition. Are your decorations even up, Tom? We're on the 9th of December. Yeah. We're recording. Okay.
Adam, they were up before December.
You do allow some joy in the house, then, is my understanding. Yes. Okay. That's good. So, Tom, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yeah, because it's set at Christmas, and I think that's the only real qualifier, isn't it? Iron Man 3 is a Christmas movie. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. Oh, I was really hoping we'd get sort of like half an hour's worth of content on that, like a really sort of explosive argument with well thought out points and riposts and yeah.
No.
All right, well then let's get stuck into the Tommies then. How do we usually do this? We hand out some awards based on Steven Spielberg's filmography of the 1970s. I think there's only five films in there. Are we including the TV films?
I'm including the TV movies. I'm including them, yeah.
Fine. We're going to hand out some awards. Some of them positive. Some of them negative. We're going to do, you know, this is how the Tommies differs from some of these highfalutin hoity-toity award ceremonies like the Oscars or the BAFTAs. We're not afraid to call people out. We will indeed be doing like worst performance and like worst picture.
Which is so much harsher than last season where it would be the worst performance by Tom Cruise. Right?
Yeah.
But he's made good performances like the next year, so it's okay. This one, we're just calling people out that will never appear in another one of Steven Spielberg's films as just being gonna single shit.
Single them out. Although I have to say, we will get onto it, but slim pickings for nominations in stuff like worst performance. I have to say, I don't have loads of them. Yeah. I do not have loads of noms.
I only have one person down for that.
That's crazy.
And I think it's more representative. We'll get to that though.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm expecting some big winners, to be honest. I think there's some. I don't know. We might get into our classic debate about what should get it, but what deserves it more. You know what I mean? We've had this before, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've had this before. What do you think about the sort of 70s in general for Spielberg here, though? Strong decade, weak decade, mixed bag?
It's a real mixed bag.
Because it does have
some really bad moments.
Does it have some really bad moments?
I think something evil is atrocious, Adam.
Yeah, I mean that's the bottom of my list. Yeah, but if you look at just the theatrically released films, there's five of them, and as we discussed last week, I think we would both put 1941 at the bottom of that pile, and that's not.
It's not a bad film.
Bad, you know.
We discussed it. It's kind of just nothing.
And then you've got Jewel,
it's a bit poor.
Sugarland Express, Jaws, Close Encounters. They're all good or above, really. So is it that weak a decade? Maybe it's quite strong, actually.
I don't think it's a weak decade. I just think it's a bit of a mixed bag decade if you're including everything that he did. But
it's not the 80s, is it? Let's put it that way.
No. And whilst I want to include his TV movies, there is an argument to be said that it's kind of harsh because unlike his films, he didn't get a lot of say in what he was doing. Like it wasn't like a personal project. It was something that he was given and he made the best of, and it's just not good.
Hey, plenty of people win other awards for that reason. Ron Howard, I think, has won an Oscar, hasn't he? That can't be true. That didn't feel right coming out of my mouth. Let me Google that. Ron Howard Oscar. Let's have a look. Ron Howard, list of awards and nominations received by Ron Howard. I like that he is our barometer for just like normal director that doesn't have anything to say.
Session
he won director. Best director. He won Best Director for A Beautiful Mind in 2002, which also won Best Picture. Stupid. That's a shit win. A disgusting win for Ron Howard. Golden Globes. He was nominated for Best Picture for Apollo 13 and A Beautiful Mind. Who knows? Who knows? Oh, he won Best Director for Cocoon at the Saturn Awards. So,
yeah.
Okay, anyway, to answer my question.
Yeah.
Ron Howard. Well, no, to fact check my assertion, Ron Howard has indeed won an Oscar. So you do get the journeyman directors, you know, getting in there and getting stuck in. So you don't have to have, like, a particular point of view, or it doesn't have to be like a passion project in order for you to get nominated or win a prestigious award such as the Tommies.
No,
you know,
but I bet Ron Howard did have some passion towards the film A Beautiful Mind, regardless
right.
of
well,
I mean I haven't actually seen it, but regardless of how you okay
let me have a look. I've probably seen it at some point. Let me have a look. Where we go? We go to production. A Beautiful Mind was the second schizophrenia themed film that Ron Howard had planned to direct. So there you go. I don't know. Maybe he loves it. Maybe he did. Yeah, yeah. He was on it from the beginning. It's difficult to say it's a passion project, I suppose. It doesn't.
But he's
obviously
passionate about it, or at least he's invested in it in some way. Yeah,
what do you think is the worst Best Director win? What do you like? There's got to be one like recently where you're just like, I don't understand why that happened.
They don't seem
to have any sort of great affinity for the film itself.
I don't know. I mean, it's usually the Best Picture wins that stick out to me. You know, the Best Director ones I don't necessarily remember them. Because you got stuff like Green Book.
Found it. Tom Hooper winning Best Director for The King's Speech. Fuck off. Anyway. You only have to go back to 2010 as well. Right. Should we get on with this?
Yeah.
The first couple of categories are the only ones that are entirely subjective and so can have multiple winners based on what me and Tom decide individually rather than come to some kind of understanding on. First one. Most pleasant surprise. Tom, what was the most pleasant surprise of the 70s for you in the Spielberg canon?
I think it was The Sugarland Express.
Speak on that.
Because I had no expectations of that film, because I knew nothing about it except, oh, Sugarland, that's in Texas.
So you had more awareness of it than I did, even, really.
Yeah, I knew it was based in Texas. That's it. And I had a lot of fun with that film. I don't think it's like a masterpiece, but it's a solidly good film, and I enjoyed it.
Solidly good film. I have similar thoughts on my pick for that category, Most Pleasant Surprise. Duel. Just a great movie. Really surprised me how much I responded to Duel, actually. Really enjoyed it. Thought it was great. Wasn't expecting that much from, you know, Truck Badger's Man. But he really eked out every drop of suspense and terror from that situation. That was great. On the flip side of that, biggest disappointment. Do you know what? I've got 1941 written down, but I think that is an unfair nomination in some ways because I knew about its reputation going in. So I actually wasn't kind of that disappointed because I kind of had figured it wasn't going to be great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So biggest disappointment, I'm gonna say something evil because I was kind of up for it. I was like, oh, Spielberg doing a kind of grindhouse horror thing. And it doesn't really work, does it? It's not as exciting as that little log line that I just said really makes it sound. It was a shame. And that's why I found it disappointing, Tom. What about you?
Yeah. Well, I put two down, which is obviously going to be Something Evil and Savage, right?
Right. You're going to have to pick one, I'm afraid.
Yes. So Something Evil was worse, but I also went in thinking, well, like, knowing that it didn't have a great reception. Whereas Savage was kind of hailed as being better than it was.
Well,
for me, well, personally.
Well, yeah, I know. All right. Well,
like, it was kind of being hailed as like a really good TV episode that didn't get picked up. And then I watched it and was like, it's marginally better than Something Evil. So for me, it's going to be Savage. Because I really thought, oh, this will be good. This will be good. And it wasn't.
It was, though.
No. It wasn't.
Okay, then, fair enough. Yeah, but it was.
It's got
though,
one and a half stars from me, Adam. 1.5 stars.
Wow. Half of what it got from me. I think I've ranked it above 1941. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. That is interesting.
Okay. Hey, look, man. Biggest disappointment and most pleasant surprise. They're entirely subjective. However, the rest of the awards will be canon as the official view of the the Film Encounters podcast. This will be the official opinion of both of us. So let's start with worst supporting performance, which is a horrible way to start, really.
Jesus.
I mean, who have you got anything for this?
I have written something down.
Yeah, I've written something down. I don't think you'll be that happy with it, but
I've put for worst supporting actor performance, whatever, anyone in Something Evil.
That's not, well, no, because there's clearly leads in that.
Okay, it's everyone other than Sandy Dennis in Something Evil.
Okay. I was Sandy Dennis on a peach once. She's all right in it. I thought everyone was all right in Something Evil. The thing is, right, I can't think of any truly, like, awful performances in any of the Spielberg films that we've watched so far. I genuinely can't. I think they're all at least competent, you know, or getting across what they need to get across. There's nobody that we've encountered here closely three times that I didn't believe, you know.
Sure.
So for worst supporting performance, I've nominated, and we can discuss this, that's fine. I've nominated the shark in Jaws. Now, that's because just constantly late to set, not very cooperative when he did get there, and I said this on the episode, I'm not entirely convinced by his performance, you know? He does look a bit stiff, you know, a bit mechanical sometimes. It's his jaw work, I think, which is ironic because his name is Jaws. But he should have worked on that a little bit. So for worst supporting performance, we've got two nominations, Tom, between us. We've got the shark in Jaws and we've got everybody that's not Sandy Dennis in Something Evil. Who do you think you should?
Now,
Shit category. But what?
Yeah. I genuinely think that Jaws, the shark, despite being animatronic, gives a better performance than most of the cast members in Something Evil. And I'm not joking.
That's bollocks, Tom.
The random neighbor that turns up and is all like, looks like Chris Morris, actually that one, turns up.
He's not even sentient.
And he's better. He's better than the husband. He's better than the random neighbor who points his head through the door and starts just delivering lines like he's literally reading them off the camera. It's awful. They are all awful. However, I don't know how we would possibly get the trophy to an entire cast.
Well, it would sit on my shelf, I suppose, and it would be engraved to all of them. Because I was thinking that the off-screen persona of the shark from Jaws is doing a lot of the heavy lifting there. When he's on screen, he's relatively effective. And actually, him not being on screen is the thing that helps the movie a lot. So maybe it's not as bad. I'm happy to go with your nomination here. I'm happy to go with. So, okay, cool. So, officially, first award given out. Worst supporting performance goes to, and I'm just reading it from the card here, everybody who's not Sandy Dennis in Something Evil. You happy with that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good. Well, we'll move on then. We'll move on to a new category for this year, which is exciting, isn't it? It's the first of two new categories, and only one of which I've told you about, because I came up with the other one about 5 minutes before we started recording and hastily made some nominations. But this is the one that you did know about. This is Best Cinematography, which, you know, I think is interesting. We've added it because we're working, you know, we're focusing on a director who obviously works with cinematographers a lot. You know, shooting the movie is not just down to one person. It's not just down to Steven Spielberg. He'll have a lot of help with that. So, Best Cinematography. I've got three nominations. I'm interested to hear the first one from you, though, Tom.
Yeah. So, I've also got three down. And I've gone for Sugarland Express because of the camera work with moving vehicles.
So, you're talking about Vilma Sigmund. Now, interesting, when I say I've got three nominations, it's kind of two. I've got three films, but there's only two people that have been nominated. Because I agree, I think the cinematography in Sugarland Express, if you know what they're doing and they're using a new kind of camera, very influential, very, very interesting. I've also nominated Vilma Sigmund for Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
I
think that movie looks incredible. Okay, so we've both nominated Vilma Sigmund twice, which is interesting.
And we both know what the third nomination for both of us is.
And we both know it's going to win as well, is that right?
Yeah, so, obviously. Yeah, okay. That's why we've left it till last.
Bill Butler for Jaws.
Yeah.
Which is devastating for Vilma Sigmund, nominated twice but still couldn't quite pull it out of the bag, which is a big shame for Vilma Sigmund.
That are known for their cinematography and techniques.
Unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable. The stuff that Bill Butler is doing in Jaws, though, is incredible. Don't forget, he did invent like new types of camera rigs to make sure that the cameras were like waterproof and everything, and the way that they choose to shoot that movie from like the ocean level adds so much to the film. The fact that you can like, it does such a good job of putting you in the position of the characters, as well as there's bits of it that just look absolutely beautiful. I think Jaws, which is, you know, it's not often singled out for being a beautiful film, but I'm happy with that. If you are, to be honest, mate.
Yeah, I think Bill Butler, I think he can probably look forward to some more awards in the future.
Does he work with Spielberg again? Does he?
I think Spielberg predominantly works with the two directors of cinematography.
Well,
for the rest of his career.
There's Janusz Kaminski. Is that his name? Right. That's who Spielberg works with a lot. Let me have a look at the old filmography here of Bill Butler.
Is it largely Bill Butler at the beginning and then somebody else later on?
Doesn't really work with Spielberg again, mate. So I don't really know. I don't really know
who
what you're thinking.
Then?
Yeah. So
I thought he was
this
a
was his one
person.
Chance. No, this was his one chance.
Nailed it.
Well done, mate.
Yeah. He cannot expect any more Tommies in the future.
Absolutely not. But well done for this one. It's a well-deserved win. Best cinematographer, Bill Butler for Jaws. Best film score or soundtrack. We've lumped them in together because why not? I imagine this will at some point be renamed to the John Williams Award. And I'm. Do we need to do nominations, or do you just want to say Jaws again? I mean, what do you want to do?
I think there should be Close Encounters should be announced as a
nominee. Can mention it if you like. Yeah, we can mention it. But it's Jaws, isn't it? Yeah. Okay.
It's Jaws.
It's obviously Jaws. Okay, but we'll mention Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I do love the way that he incorporates When You Wish Upon a Star into that score. I think that's excellent. But it's Jaws, isn't it?
It's not one of the most iconic film tunes of all time.
Yeah. And he's got like, he's got a couple more to come, hasn't he, John Williams? I think he's got at least one iconic score in every decade that we hit. So I imagine that he's just going to win every year.
I mean, honestly, John Williams literally got nominated for an Oscar almost every single year.
There's going to be some decades where the toss-up will be between which John Williams score do we give it to. Like next decade, the 80s, it's going to be between Indiana Jones and E.T., isn't it? Surely.
Well, Indiana Jones, E.T., and possibly a different Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that could show, actually. There's three Indiana Jones films in the 80s. Yeah. God, you're right. Yeah, Last Crusade is good, actually. Oh, what would you... Yeah, but then E.T. is... So, do you know what? We don't need to think about it yet.
No, we're not there.
So, best film score or soundtrack. Should we give it to John Williams for Jaws?
I reckon we probably should.
Just such an iconic score. And I don't know if you know this. It's quite simple, actually, because it's just those two notes, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah.
Has anybody
along
ever,
with the
like,
random...
pointed that
along
out
with the random other bits.
Just sort of...
No, I don't think they...
Da-dun.
I don't think they have.
Are we popping... Are we popping 1941 and Close Encounters of the Third Kind in there as well, because the Jaws theme is in all three of them?
Yeah, go on then.
All right, then. Cool, lovely.
1941. It's the only time it's going to get nominated.
That's not true. We've got a worse movie coming up, haven't we? Oh, I tell you what, actually. The next one is Worst Lead Performance. And I've nominated John Belushi for 1941 and John Candy for 1941.
Well, I've nominated Adam.
Sandy Dennis in Something Evil.
She's not getting left out.
She gets an award as well. Two awards encompass the whole cast. Sandy Dennis is fine in Something Evil. This is an Oscar-winning actress. No, yeah. She's not the worst. She's an Oscar-winning
in general.
I'm not giving her...
She's the worst. Sandy Dennis.
I'm not giving her a Tommy for worst lead performance, mate. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Pick John Belushi or John Candy. One of the Johns from 1941. Pick one.
It's John Belushi because John Candy simply doesn't get given it any lines.
Yeah, he's just wasted, isn't he, I suppose. Yeah. But I think we explored that last week. That's down to my preconception of him more than anything, because he hadn't really had a breakout role at that point. This was like one of his first roles in cinema. So fuck me, I suppose. I'm happy to give it to John Belushi. A ruinous performance that wound me up no end, which I think might be going against the grain there, because I think loads of people love John Belushi. Also, I will say, they're not even really leads, John Belushi and John Candy. I just couldn't think of...
John Candy's definitely not a lead. He's just in the movie. You don't even realise he's in the movie until he gets one line on top of a tank and then he's not seen from again.
But he's
that's not fair.
A lead.
He gets coal blown in his face.
He's as much of a lead as anyone else in that movie, I would say. No, he's not. Yeah. He's absolutely not. But John Belushi is.
Yes.
So, I think, chuck me that one. Chuck me that one, eh? Okay. Well, let's get a little bit more positive then. Let's move on to the best screenplay. I've just chucked in nominations for the three big ones. I don't know about you.
Well, it depends what you consider the third big one.
Savage. I've nominated Sugarland Express, Hal Barwood and Matthew Robbins. I've nominated Jaws by Peter Benchley and Carl Gottlieb. And I've nominated Close Encounters of the Third Kind by Steven Spielberg. Did you have the same three?
I have exactly the same three, yep.
Yes. So, Sugarland Express, I think, is a good screenplay, but not as good as the other two, I would say.
Yeah.
And then looking into the production of Jaws, it would be a miss for us to give an award for screenplay to Peter Benchley, who wrote a draft and then had five people write drafts after him, and they started production with a script that wasn't finished, and a lot of it came from improvisatory rehearsals with the actors. you know?
Yeah. Based on a book that you've claimed to be not great. That good.
Yeah, not that good. So it would be weird to give the award to that screenplay, knowing that so much of it wasn't written. It was just kind of felt and worked out in rehearsals. So I think we maybe have to give it to Close Encounters by Steven Spielberg.
It's a difficult one because I think Close Encounters does have a very good story overall. I think the script does lose its way in the middle, as we've discussed on the Close Encounters episode.
Less so for me than it does for you, I'd say.
Yeah. But equally, as you say, I don't think I'd necessarily give it to Jaws. I think Jaws has an amazing central premise, but it's carried by the acting and the relationship between the characters rather than does the actual, like, you know, plotting or dialogue or anything.
Yeah. I agree with that. And when you find out that, like, iconic lines like "you're going to need a bigger boat" was improvised, you're like, okay, yeah. So what was written in the script then? Because it wasn't that. Maybe it was Chris Morris's suggestion of, like, "there's a shark," which I think is really funny. Big shark. So should we give it to Stevie then?
I think so.
Lovely. Best screenplay goes to Steven Spielberg for Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Okay. Best supporting performance. Now, I've got 5 nominations for this, Tom. How many have you got?
Jesus. I've only got 2, because I'm going to be
bloody
honest.
Hell.
I couldn't really think of many.
You're joking, aren't you?
Now, you're going to come up with plenty of absolutely valid suggestions.
Well, here's my first valid suggestion.
Yep.
Melinda Dillon as Gillian in Close Encounters.
Sure.
The mother of the boy who gets kidnapped. It's the, like, it's the central emotive performance of the piece. Oh, I can tell you're not happy with it. I can tell you're not happy with it.
It's not that I think she's not good. It's just that when we talked about it on the episode, we did discuss that I don't think anyone's a standout performance in this film.
Not even Richard Dreyfuss.
No, not really. I think he does
a
good job.
Let's save that for the lead performance, you mug. All right, well, I've got 4 others. I've got 4 others to tempt you with, okay? Michael Sacks as Patrolman Maxwell Slide in the Sugarland Express.
Okay.
I think he has a lot to do, you know? He has to go from hunting the couple or being held hostage by the couple to being sympathetic to their plight and coming around and helping them, you know?
Yep. Okay. Sure.
Okay, you're not convinced by that one either. Why don't you give me one of yours?
I'm more convinced.
Give me one of yours.
I've got 2 from Jaws, I'm gonna be honest.
Oh,
2 from Jaws.
Yeah.
And you know who they are?
Robert Shaw as Quint.
Yep.
Yeah, I've got that one as well. Of course I have.
Yep.
I don't think I've got the same. I've got another one from Jaws, but I don't think it's the same one. I've got Lorraine Gary as Ellen Brody, because I think she's good. I think she's really good in it.
I've got Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, you're going to say Richard Dreyfuss, which is fine.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. My other one, my fifth nomination is François Truffaut as Claude Lacan in Close Encounters. I think that's a great performance.
I think we both already know who the winner is.
Was Robert Shaw as Quint in Jaws? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because
it's worth having some discussion over. Because he's clearly the best performance in any of the films that we've seen so far. Tom, is the thing about
it's the only
Robert
one that
Shaw
I was like,
Quint
I remember that
Jaws.
One.
Yeah,
that
of one. Course. Well, we all know him and we know what he does, and he's excellent in Jaws. Yeah, so obviously it was going to be him, but I thought the other ones warranted some discussion, which is fine. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, fine. Well, best supporting performance then. Robert Shaw as Quint in Jaws. He is genuinely incredible in that film. Let's do the last negative one, which is worst picture. Now, I know what you're going to say. I'm pretty sure you've only got 1 thing written down.
I've got 2.
Oh, okay. Oh, are they both the TV movies?
Yeah. Something Evil and Savage both need to be listed there.
I've got Something Evil, but I do think it's a TV movie. Like, what were we expecting? Were we expecting it to be great? I think Worst Picture should go to 1941. Because imagine aiming to make a comedy and forgetting to make it funny.
Yeah, but imagine going to make a horror movie and forgetting to make it remotely good, let alone scary.
Okay. Okay.
Like, consistently, shockingly bad.
Yeah.
Only redeemed by those little glimmers of Steven Spielberg's directing ability, interesting shots, etc. The only
talking about Something Evil or 1941? Which one are we talking about?
Something Evil.
Okay. Yeah, but it's a TV movie. Like, what did you expect? It was shot in 10 days or something, wasn't it?
For
£5.
Jewel was a TV movie.
Well, you've got me there, Tom.
Yeah.
You've got me there.
That's genuinely good.
Okay, we'll give it to Something Evil. We'll give it something evil. Fine. Worst Picture, Something Evil. Congratulations, I guess. Right, here is the surprise category that you weren't necessarily expecting. But I think that Steven Spielberg does so many films that feature this aspect of filmmaking that we should include it in everyone going forward, okay? And I'm, of course, talking about best special effects. What do you think about that?
Obviously. Yes. Obviously, we have to include that as a category.
Of course. Because, you know, we've got some incredible stuff coming up, whether it's the Indiana Jones movies or E.T. or it's Jurassic Park. You know, he's a director
Ready
who
Player
is...
Ready Player One.
Ready Player One, absolutely. War Horse. How do they make the horse do those things? you know, he's always been at the forefront of technically forward-thinking movies. So yeah, I think we should include it. I've got 3 nominations. You haven't got any because I didn't tell you we were doing this category. But here are my nominations. 1941, genuinely putting up for a positive award because the miniatures are incredible. Yeah. The special effects in that film are amazing. The other ones that I'm nominating, I'm nominating Close Encounters of the Third Kind, because when you find out that's all practical effects, blows my mind, Tom. I think that looks amazing even now. And then obviously the other one is Jaws for the animatronics. They didn't always work, but actually I think they're very effective when they do work. And how cool is it that they made 3 25-foot-long robotic sharks and put them in the ocean and made it eat people? I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
But I'm genuinely torn on which of the 3 to give it to. So what do you think?
I think all 3 are deserving of being included. Close Encounters, it's a difficult one, because whilst it's incredibly impressive, I don't think it holds up quite as well as the other 2.
Wrong. Oh, I think it holds up better than Jaws. Come on, mate, have a word with yourself.
No, but Jaws doesn't need to do as much. Jaws just needs to have a shark that looks vaguely like a shark. And to be fair, whilst it looks like an animatronic at times, it still looks like a very detailed and realistic animatronic.
That is true. Do we take into account the sort of how much influence the effects had? Because I'm not sure anybody ever tried to make a mechanical shark again. I think it put people off the practice. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whereas Close Encounters, if you don't have Close Encounters, I don't think you get stuff like Blade Runner, with like the double negative and having miniatures placed over the top and having like lighting effects that play with the real footage then being laid over the top of the miniature work. I'm leaning towards Close Encounters, but also I have a penchant. I do love how because I find that film to be quite magical and like mystical. I think the effects look quite magical and mystical, and I think that plays into the film nicely. But then, of course, Jaws is terrifying and the animatronic is terrifying. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a real toss-up.
Well, now that you've shown me the similarity between Close Encounters and Blade Runner.
Oh, of course, I'm starting speaking your language.
Because I hadn't really thought about the practicality of the Blade Runner special effects and like the cityscape of LA. And I do feel like it's better in Blade Runner, but again, it's easier to improve on something that somebody has come up with from scratch.
Yes.
It is to come up with something from scratch. I can give it to Close Encounters.
Let's do it then. Let's do it. The first ever award for best special effects goes to Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Didn't look up any of the names of the people on the visual effects team. So it's a bit of an Oppenheimer situation for this award ceremony.
Yeah.
We will not be crediting our visual effects artists because apparently it's the done thing. Anyway, let's move on to the next. Let's move on to the next award.
We can do that award for the previous season because, of course, in a Tom Cruise movie, there are no special effects at all.
Nope. Just normal effects, aren't they? Nothing special about them.
Yeah.
Right. Best director. I have a hunch it's going to go to Steven Spielberg.
Yeah. I've written this down.
You know. Okay. You wrote Steven Spielberg.
Because otherwise, I might have forgotten. but best director. I've got Steven Spielberg. Yeah.
But for which movie?
Oh, Jaws.
Yeah, Jaws. I reckon Jaws. Yeah. I reckon Jaws, mate. I reckon Jaws. Close Encounters of the Third Kind is up there. I think Duel is incredibly well directed, but I don't think there's many films in the history of filmmaking that are as well directed as Jaws. So my vote is for Jaws, Tom.
Yeah. I'll second that.
Best director goes to Steven Spielberg for Jaws. Okay, we've only got a couple left. We've got best lead performance. We've got best picture. Best lead performance. Who have you nominated, mate? Who have you got nommed? Nom.
I've got two, and I'm not even really convinced by them, I'm going to be honest.
I've got three, so I should start.
I wrote all these down about 30 minutes before we started recording today, on account of not being around to do it until then.
Of course, you've been on holiday.
Been on holiday. Had a big writing session this morning as well, Adam. Had a big writing session.
Oh, was it productive? Was it good?
It was very... 1,200 words. 1,200 good, solid words.
Bloody hell. Good, solid words as well. None of these weak words. Sorry, did you say just under 500 pages?
5 pages.
Oh.
I mean, I might have said 500, but I definitely meant five. I wrote just under 500 pages because I write a book a day.
Did you fucking listen to the episode that came out this week, by the way? Did you listen to it?
No, I didn't.
Okay. The one where you stated that Metropolis was from the 70s. Go back and listen to it.
Have you listened to it? Yeah, I edited the fucking thing.
Yeah.
Glossed over it, mate.
Anyway, right. I'm going to put up best lead performance. I'm going to nominate Goldie Hawn. The Sugarland Express. I think that's a great performance.
Mate, I've got her down as well.
Lovely stuff. I think that's great. I think it's a great performance. You're going to hate me. Doctors hate me. Richard Dreyfuss for Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Sue me. I think he's got a lot to do and I think he does it well, Tom.
Yeah, I think he does it fine.
All right.
Again, it's not a bad performance. Yeah. I don't think it's a bad performance by any means. I just don't think it's a remarkable one.
All right, fine.
That's all.
Fine, whatever. Who else? Who else we got?
I've got Roy Scheider for Jaws.
Struggle with that surname, don't you? Just not really sure.
I really do.
You're just not sure.
I feel like
it
should have an N in it. It should be Schneider. It feels like it should be Schneider, and it's Roy Scheider. There's too many I sounds in there. Roy Scheider.
You're thinking of Rob Schneider, but you need to be thinking of Roy Scheider.
Yes.
I've also got Roy Scheider for Jaws. I think it's a good performance. It's not hugely remarkable, though. It's quite a locked down performance, isn't it? Which is ultimately what that film needs, because both Quint and Hooper are very big personalities. You know, the Richard Dreyfuss and the Robert Shaw characters are kind of madcap characters. You need the everyman. You need the audience surrogate. He's doing the Lord's work in that film. You need someone in the middle of that. But it doesn't lead to the most compelling performance of the bunch, I don't think.
I think the same thing can be not the same performance, but like the same sort of logic can be aimed at Richard Dreyfuss, though, in Close Encounters. Like, I kind of feel like it's not locked down, but he is just playing the everyman.
Yeah, that is fair. That is fair. Maybe we give it to Goldie Hawn then.
I think so. I genuinely think so, because I found her incredibly endearing.
That's a very emotionally resonant performance as well, I think.
Yeah.
In a film that I wasn't expecting there to be an emotionally resonant performance. Okay, great. Best lead performance, Goldie Hawn for The Sugarland Express. Oh, interesting. Right, so that leads us to the last award of the night, this magical night. Best picture. So there's seven films that are up for it, as far as I'm concerned. There is Duel, Something Evil, Savage, The Sugarland Express, Jaws, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and 1941. Well, we can get rid of Savage and Something Evil, and we can get rid of 1941. So really,
I think that's fair.
It's between Duel, The Sugarland Express, Jaws, and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And really, it's between two of those. Really, it's one of them. Really,
it's really one. It's one.
Really
yeah.
one. But hang on a second, because the Sugarland Express is an interesting. It's interesting to have it, you know, up there with Close Encounters of the Third Kind and Duel, because it's not one of those instant classics that immediately comes to your mind when you're thinking of Steven Spielberg. But I do think it's a good movie. It's just not the best movie of his 70s period. And I'd say the same of Duel. I think I was more sort of surprised and impressed by it than I was head over heels in love with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So really it comes down to, are we going to give it to Close Encounters of the Third Kind, or are we going to give it to Jaws? I suspect your argument is going to be for Jaws.
And you'd suspect right, Adam, and that's because Jaws is the better film.
Yeah. Let me just see if there's a way to frame Close Encounters in a way that makes it a compelling contender for a second. Let's just pretend that it is for a second. I suppose there's the aspect that it is a passion project from Spielberg. You know, he tried to get off of Jaws before they'd even started filming it. But then I suppose the fact that he pulls out one of the best films ever made under those circumstances is a testament to not just his directing skill, but how good the film is.
Just having a passion project by itself is not enough, because Hobbs and Shaw was The Rock's passion project, and I don't think we're giving Best Picture to that.
Well, no, because it wasn't directed by Steven Spielberg.
No.
But if it was directed by Steven Spielberg in the 70s, it would be in contention for this award, I'd say.
It absolutely would be, yeah. So one of the greatest films in cinema.
What's your point, then?
My point is that I think from both an artistic and commercial standpoint, which is a viable reason for being included in the category these days, as we've seen from things like Top Gun Maverick and Avatar, either way, it's got to be Jaws, really, hasn't it?
I like that. You got very close to making a point, but you just sort of gave up at the end and just went, but it's Jaws though, isn't it? It can be Jaws. I don't have a problem with it being Jaws. It's one of my favourite movies of all time. It's literally like it's in my top 5 movies of all time, I think. Or top 10. It's in my top 10 movies of all time. Close Encounters of the Third Kind It's not even in the top 100 movies of all time for me, Tom. So I just think, you know, Close Encounters has a bit more to say than Jaws does.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why it won Best Story / Writing / Screenplay.
Yeah. Do you know what, Tom? You're absolutely right. Best Picture goes to Jaws. Wow, wonderful. Round of applause, I think. No, just me? All right, then. That's fine.
You'll find some low in the mix from me as well, Adam. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, I'll make it sound bigger in the edit. That's fine.
Lots of reverb. Booming reverb. Like a mountainous troll is applauding.
Not bad. Not a bad selection of winners there, I think. Good stuff. Kind of a good decade, actually, when you think about all the things that we've discussed today. We're going to come back. When are we coming back? When are we coming back? January. The 17th, I believe.
Ooh.
I believe that is when we're coming back. So we've got quite a few weeks off now. Don't forget about us. But we will be starting Spielberg's 80s period. What are you expecting from this, Tom?
I'm expecting to watch a series of films that are absolute five-star classics.
Yeah.
That I've already seen and know I really enjoy.
Do you want me to do just a quick list of the movies? Is that useful
for
you?
Yeah.
You ready? You ready for this? Raiders of the Lost Ark. Good movie. E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yep.
The Color Purple.
Yep.
Empire of the Sun.
Yep.
Always. And Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. That's interesting, actually. Three of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 movies. We're going to watch 7 movies. Three of them are the Indiana Jones trilogy.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd really recognise that they were all bunched up in the 80s like that. And then you've got E.T. in there. The other three are three movies that I've not seen, Tom. Have you seen The Colour Purple, Empire of the Sun, or Always?
I have seen none of those three.
Okay. So we've got some absolute banger classics that we've both been watching since we were children.
Yep.
And we've got a run of three movies that are going to be brand new to us. Interesting.
It's going to be great. It's going to be a great year.
Interesting. Decade. So, would you call me?
What?
Oh, I thought you called me a dickhead.
No, I said decade. You decade.
Before we wrap up, is there any point in ranking the movies
I think there is, Adam. I think there is.
I think we all know what it's going to be, though, don't we?
Oh,
well, go ahead.
We don't know. Okay, this might surprise you, Adam.
Oh, doctors hate him.
Okay. This one secret tip. number 7.
Yeah.
Number 7, Adam.
Something evil. Yeah, okay.
Big good. Surprise.
Yeah.
All right. Number 6. Savage.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. Number 5.
1941.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, this is where it's going to get contentious, Adam.
Okay.
Don't get angry.
I'm not going to get angry.
Number 4, Duel.
I'm so angry! We've got the same list. We've just swapped around Sugarland Express and Duel. Why are we reading these out?
Have we, Adam? Because number 3 is Close Encounters.
Get fucked. What are you talking about? Sugarland Express above Close Encounters. Are you unwell or something? Are you okay?
No. I gave them both 3.5 stars, Adam. I think you'll remember.
I just
had more fun with the Sugarland Express than I did in Close Encounters. So it's pipped above it.
All right, we'll carry on then.
Can you guess what number 1 is?
Jaws.
Yeah, it's Jaws. So I'm guessing you have Sugarland Express, Duel, Close Encounters, and Jaws. Is your top 4.
Yep. Yeah, although actually, you swap 1941 and Savage. Do you know what? I will read mine out. Number 7, Something Evil. Number 6, 1941. Number 5, Savage. Number 4, Sugarland Express. Number 3, Duel. Number 2, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Number 1 is Jaws. So there you go.
So our lists are entirely different, except 1 and 7 are the same.
I don't know why I thought they'd be so similar. Well, that's as good a place as any to leave it, isn't it? So we're back. When did I say we were back, Tom?
January 17th.
January 17th. You happy with that? I'm happy with that. Yeah. That sounds good. Come and join us for January 17th when we're going to explore and discuss Raiders of the Lost Ark, the first Indiana Jones movie. Cool movie, in my opinion. Now, this one is genuinely, spoilers for my score, genuinely in my top 5 movies of like all time. So there you go. Come and let us know what you think of the awards we gave out, whether or not you're doing something a little bit different. Come and let us know what you think of Raiders of the Lost Ark. It'd be interesting to get your thoughts on that. And also, have a good holiday season and a good new year. But come and chat to us. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of those places where like Film Encounters, if you search that, it's fine. Film Encounters of the Spielberg Kind is also fine. You can email us filmencounterspod@gmail.com with some longer thoughts if you have them. Find us on Letterboxd. You can find, I'll publish that list. We should publish our Spielberg ranking lists and update them as we go, Tom. That would be interesting. And while you're doing all of that, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark before our next episode on January 17th, which won't be too difficult. It's the Christmas period. It's going to be on TV about 5 times, isn't it? Anyway, this podcast will self-destruct in 5 seconds.